Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Limits, you're somewhat of a baseball nerd, aren't you? And I mean that complimentarily.
Yeah, I'd say so.
If that's the word. All right, then find me a stat on base running. Team base running stats, I want to know. I want to know who gets thrown out the most. I want to know who's the most successful and least successful team. And I'll tell you why in a moment. First, I want to welcome in Bob Pompeiani. I'm sorry that we don't have applause for Bob. How are you, Bob?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Austin. Austin, what are you moving into three different shifts today? What are you doing?
He already insulted me. He said I looked horrible before the show. Meanwhile, I got a haircut an hour ago, and I've lost 12 pounds.
Yeah, I think he looks wonderful.
Joe, I do think you look wonderful. I was trying to make a joke, and it did not land properly.
No, you weren't. You're coming back at me because I said you looked horrible.
Yes, I was. But you're the one that incited
He looks hungover, Bob. Does he not?
Oh my
from
gosh,
his weekend?
Again? Are
yes.
you kidding me? We're
Everybody
really
thought
this
so.
Out there again.
Everybody thought so when they
so.
Came into the. You
well,
don't?
No.
Take a good look, Bob.
Yeah, I don't think he looks hungover.
No?
What's the
Tell us about your weekend.
What would you weekend. Be looking? What are you looking at?
He looks
at?
Scruffy. His eyes are heavy and his hair is
my
unkempt.
My eyes are heavy.
Sounds
yeah.
like an Eminem song. His eyes are heavy and his
knees weak.
How was your
Just
weekend?
Don't eat mom's spaghetti.
How was
He's
your
nervous.
Trip? How was your trip, Limits?
It was good. It was a really good time. It was good to get away with some of the fellas.
That's
friends.
Boring. Tell us some details. We know it was good.
I met a Pomp and Joe show fan, Adam from Green Tree.
Really?
I was walking on the strip at Geneva, and a guy starts like bowing his hands down.
Bob,
to me.
Have you ever been to the Geneva Strip?
Once, yeah, a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Really?
Yeah. And what was he doing? He was bowing.
And he was like waving his hands down at me. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then he just chimes in, Limits, good to see you. And I talked to him for like 10 minutes. Frequent listener, frequent texter of the show. My friends thought it was hilarious. They put in our group chat, Austin just got recognized at Geneva with a bunch of laughing emojis.
You're a celebrity.
Cool.
Limits. What'd you guys do for fun? Drink? Play golf? Play wiffle ball?
Yes. We didn't play any wiffle ball, but we did go to a couple of the wineries, which was nice. We went to a couple of really good restaurants, and we hung out by the pool. We played shuffleboard. A lot of intense cornhole games.
Yeah.
A lot of yelling going on with cornhole and bocce.
I had an unbelievable cornhole game 2 weekends ago at that wedding in Ontario.
Yeah.
It was me and my daughter against my nephew Liam and my niece Maggie. Bob, this game went into like, there were at least 15 times where one throw wins the game. What do you have to get to, Limits? 21, 25? What is it? I can't remember.
21.
21. The game was incredible. It was better than the Pirates wild card game. You wouldn't have
really?
Believed it. Yeah, people started to gather around. So we're going on for 45
it's
minutes,
It's like one
Bob.
Of those tennis matches that go into a deuce, and they're in our extra, tie-breaking sets, and it's deuce, win, winner point, deuce, winner point, deuce, winner point.
It was incredible.
And how about I golfed, Bob?
Oh, my.
How yeah. about that, Bob?
I don't know if I want to hear about
this. We got to get him out there.
No, you don't want to hear about it, Bob.
Is that
it
was the first time?
No, this is about the fifth or sixth time that I've ever golfed, but the last time was about 2 years ago. And let's just say it was a struggle yeah. at times. Yeah,
yeah,
it was a struggle.
It's always a struggle.
It's a struggle.
It's
a struggle. Start.
Every
of course
time. I've been
is.
Playing it for 60 years, it's been a struggle.
I felt like Joe wanting to throw my club. I need to go to the range. I can't hit off the tee properly.
Do you have clubs of your own?
I have wooden drivers from
Bob can
my
lend you some.
Uncle.
Remember you lent me those, Bob? The yeah. same ones used for
same
him.
Same ones. How about that? It could be a hand-me-down.
What'd you do this weekend, Bob? I'm very curious to know.
Well, what did we do?
You did a show. I called in as
yes, you called in
Billy from Cook's Forest.
And yeah. immediately we're red flagged. I knew that one.
Immediately.
He's done that before. But what was the one that got me? The one that I did. It was your wife, Susie.
Fanny from Butler.
Fanny yeah. from Butler. Now, yeah. I would never have thought it was you with Fanny from Butler.
That was cheap to have my wife call in, I'll admit
and
that.
And then I heard you laugh in the background. No one said a word and I hung up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
No, it was a nice weekend. We had a graduation party yesterday for Skylar, who's going to Point Park University.
Nice.
What else? I'm trying to remember.
Did you drink beer?
No, wine.
Wine?
Wine. I'm always a wine guy, mostly.
Did Every you golf?
No, did not golf this weekend.
Wow.
I wish
incredible.
I would have. It was nice. And I don't mind 95-degree golf days, by the way.
I went out with the one and only Josh Roundtree to Old Stonewall the other day, Saturday, 4 o'clock tee time.
It's a good place. My son-in-law, Mac, is having a tournament out there for his charity that he gets involved with.
What a place of beauty it is.
It's a rain-out day, too, just like mine will be next Monday. My redo is next Monday, so I won't be here next Monday. I'll be at the golf course, hopefully, trying to satisfy 150-some golfers.
Well, before we get into, and by the way, it's wonderful to be reunited with you, gentlemen. It's
great to be back.
Very exciting.
That didn't sound like you were very
excited. No. Okay. It is. I mean, very exciting.
Normally you get excited. That did not have any
I'm
sort
very
of
happy
excitement
to be
tone to it at all.
Reunited with you guys.
Reunited.
I'm not singing today. At least not that. Who knows what. Bob, did you check out the video I sent you of myself at the coffee shop last week?
I would have. Had, I
you
left
didn't?
My phone
Limits,
at home.
You didn't either, did you?
I did not because I had to fill in on the morning show.
I sent you both a video of me singing
it.
In a coffee shop and nobody watches
you
it.
You sent it while I was here filling in on the morning show.
You're not doing anything back there. You just sit there and listen to Crowley.
I have to make sure that the show doesn't explode when Crowley's running it.
Bob, why didn't you watch it?
Why didn't I watch it?
Yeah.
Because I left my phone at home. That's
oh, that's right.
I don't have a phone with me right now.
I'm sorry. But I sent it to you while you were at home.
But I left my phone at home and I didn't look before I left.
Yeah.
Do you feel helpless without your phone, Bob?
Sort of, yes. Because I have a lot of things in there that I needed to do today and the commercial breaks I was planning to do. And now
I
can't
do
it.
It's so weird.
So I called my wife. I said, Lisa, you're going to have to man my phone today. If you see text messages from these people, work-related ones, I said, you got to answer them for me.
My daughter went to some school/social event, and they took the phones when they got there, and she said it was like we were, you know, missing some part of our body. You know what I mean? They are so addicted. We all are.
Well, because everyone's
so addicted to our phones. Nobody knew what to do.
If you're going to get that two-text thing, you need your phone to access everything anymore.
Right, everything.
Because you get one of those things sent to you. So it's hard to do anything without your phone.
Before we get to the Pirates, and we will get to the Pirates and the Steelers and the Penguins, I might add, and we're going to continue our quarter century series, Bob. You missed it. You and I and Jeff Hathorn, you chose the Steeler quarter century team. We chose Pirates and Penguins. And today, and here's a homework assignment for you both for later in the show during our brief intermissions, perhaps. I want to hear from you the five most exhilarating and heartbreaking games in Pittsburgh sports since the year 2000, Bob. The five most exhilarating and heartbreaking. But first, speaking of heartbreaking, man, TJ McConnell and the Pacers last night, and then to watch Tyrese Halliburton and have that Achilles snap, at least that's what it sure looked like to me, and having had that happen to me, I saw it. Everybody could see. You could see it right away. It was horrifying. And then watching the game was just depressing. TJ McConnell was unbelievable in the third quarter. He went full Michael Jordan in the third quarter. And then Oklahoma City wins. And I just agree with a lot of people. They're, to me, not a likable team. I don't think they're likable. Alex Caruso fouls more than anybody I've ever seen in 50 years of watching basketball. They seem to just take it to the edge with the fouling, with the flailing, with the I can't stand it. And a woman who covers the Denver Nuggets, Rachel Strand, said it very well for me. And I don't care that we're opening with NBA. If you're ever going to do it, today's the day. I've said it countless times before, she wrote, OKC plays a miserable kind of basketball. The flails, the hacks, the everything. Just play, man. It's pathetic to watch. Then she says this, and I think this is true, Bob. OKC doesn't even walk the thin line of what a foul is and what isn't. They're egregiously fouling and challenging the refs to actually make calls, but they don't. Wonder if this will be a topic of discussion at league meetings in the offseason. Probably not, but one can hope. They're the most unwatchable, unenjoyable NBA champion I've seen since the Bad Boy Pistons. And they make me think of other unenjoyable, unwatchable, perhaps harmful to the league champions like the Devils of the mid-90s with their neutral zone trap. Because people just copy this crap. And to me, it's unwatchable. I don't like it. Your thoughts?
Well, it sounds to me like you just don't like Oklahoma City. And what they've done is the second youngest team to win an NBA championship with a brand of defense that was how they played all season long. They forced you into turnovers. The whole key last night, Indiana had more three-point shots than Oklahoma City. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander only had a couple. He missed most of his shots. But what they do better than any other team, and they've done it all season, is play defense. When you play defense, you force officials not to call everything. You just can't. So they know that. They play that way. And they've played that way. The whole key to the game last night was they forced Indiana into almost 20 turnovers when they themselves didn't make that many comparatively. So that was the difference of the game. If you think that's bad basketball, so be it. I think that's in-your-face basketball, and I love it.
You loved it. You love watching them.
I love watching them play.
Okay. Well,
I think they have a great mix, and you say about Alex Caruso was one of the best pickups.
Alex Caruso.
Just like T.J. McConnell in that he's undrafted, had to go to the G League, had to earn his stripes, and he did. And he did it with
L.A. Good for him.
But he's a tenacious player. You'd love him on his team. As far as T.J., I thought T.J. was outstanding. In that third quarter, again, he made 10 straight.
A few too many turnovers, but he was incredible offensively.
He made two critical turnovers late in the game. He, I think, had five turnovers in the game. You know, the stat line looks good, but you can't do that. But again, that's what they do in Oklahoma City, and that's been their calling card all year.
Not enjoyable basketball to me, Bob, but as
it's
the great
basketball.
Ron Cook.
It's winning basketball.
Well, yeah, fouling basketball is winning if they don't call
the
game.
You don't think Indiana did some of that?
So is the neutral zone trap. Did you like it when the Devils did that?
What do you want them to do then? Sit back and sit in a zone and let people shoot like crazy?
I mean, I don't blame them at all for doing what they're doing. I don't have to enjoy watching it. They're challenging, like Rachel Strand said. They basically are challenging the refs to actually make calls, and they don't. And I think they should address it at the league meetings because other teams will copy that crap, and that's what we'll be watching, I think.
For years, the NBA has been, for those who don't watch it, the people will say, well, they never play defense. They just sit.
Well, people are idiots because they've always played defense, especially in the playoffs in the NBA.
This team plays it better than most. This is how they win. If you watch them all season long, this is how they win. They force you into doing things you're uncomfortable doing because they're on top of you.
As the great Ron Cook once said, opinions are like noses, Bob. Everybody right. has one. We just have different opinions. There he is. All right, Bob. So we're left with that. And then a great run by T.J. McConnell.
Really
was. And Tim McConnell. And what a story the McConnells became during the NBA Finals. And the shots he was making. Here's see if you agree with this. If T.J. McConnell gets the SGA whistle, he would have had 30 last night. He had a stretch in the third quarter where I think he scored 10 straight points. Unbelievable. Drives to the basket and little
really
pull-ups and
mid-range.
Crazy shots that he was 100% getting fouled on about half of them. You breathe near SGA, he gets a whistle. TJ didn't get that respect. Do you agree with that, that he got fouled on a bunch
of those? Yeah, I think he got fouled a few times. I think they weren't, flagrant in any way. They just were part of the play, and they could have called a couple, absolutely. But, I still give him credit for what he did, going into the middle of the lane, showing speed to the rim. It was unbelievable what he did. And his speed, his age, still 10 years in this league, and he still has that burst. And, he kept them in the game. And I just felt bad for them that Halliburton goes down like that because he was off to a great start. He had made three straight threes.
Yeah.
And I thought, you want to see people play against the best and the best and see what happens. And that game may have been totally different had he remained in it.
Yeah. I will say of Oklahoma City, I do like their demeanor, the way they conduct themselves. I think they're very classy. SGA was classy after the game on the Halliburton injury. I do like that. So don't get me wrong on their team, but Caruso, Bob. He's the guy that shows up at the YMCA in a knee brace and goggles and, calls offensive fouls and then fouls the crap out of you.
You want Alex Caruso on your team. This is what you're saying.
Yes, I will admit that. I will admit that.
It's the Brad Marchand thing. It's
absolutely.
When you have him on your team, you love him. When you don't, you're going to talk about him all the time.
I do admit that, Bob, and it's a wonderful point. And it brings us to last Friday night in the first inning of the Pirates game against the Texas Rangers, and I thought that Don Kelly missed a golden opportunity here to set the kind of, dynamic he wants moving forward. Here's the play.
From Burrows, there's a line drive, base hit into center field that was rocketed, and now gets past Cruz.
That's going to cost a run.
Oh, yeah, to the warning track, and it's the right fielder Frazier who gets to it and gets it in. And by the time the throw comes into the plate and Joey Bart, Haggerty standing at third, and it is 1-0.
Hear those boos?
Oh, I heard the boos, and I watched the play, and, it's not the end of the world or anything, but on a play like that, with a total lack of effort and just standing there watching it, I'm not saying that Don Kelly should have gone full Billy Martin and like taken Cruz off the field right then and confronted him at the top step of the dugout. Although I don't think I would rip him for it if he did, but he absolutely should have been out of that game when he came back to the dugout. That is a missed opportunity by Don Kelly. Your thoughts, Bob?
Yeah, and I also thought...
Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Because, again, you cannot tolerate standing and looking. What if Frazier doesn't go over as quickly as he did? And, by the way, that's another subtopic here. Frazier's playing left field, right field. This is the state of where the Pirates are, that they have this scenario going on. But you got to make an effort there. It's one thing to make an error. It's another thing to stand there, look back, and say, well, okay, I made an error. I'm not moving. And I thought, and I realized some of these guys don't want to be critical after games, but I was hoping that Don Kelly would say something. Instead, he went to, well, you know, watch how he hustled the rest of the game. That's not
irrelevant
for me.
To me.
And I would have taken him out of the game, and I would have told him, through his translator, if you can't understand this, do you need an explanation why you're sitting on the bench? Here it is. Because you can't stand there and do that. If I tolerate this, I'm going to have to tolerate more. And I'm not tolerating any of it.
You just can't. And then Cruz's explanation through the translator was, on that situation, I knew I missed the ball, and I thought that Frazier was closer to me. When I saw him, then I tried to go. He was closer to the ball. He didn't try at all. He stood and watched it. Can't happen. It just can't happen, no. And there's got to be some accountability.
Yeah, and he's not hitting the ball at all again. He's just gotten back to where he was. I had so much hope for this guy the way the season started. I thought he was going to get better with awareness at the plate, and his average has plummeted, and his defense has been, you know, it's not even the defense. I don't worry about it because he's still in a new position. You're going to make an error. It's just the lack of want to. I can't tolerate that. And if I do tolerate
Neither should Don Kelly tolerate that.
Because everyone else who sees that on that team now says, well, you know, it's O'Neal Cruz. He's getting, no, you can't do it. You have to make a statement. He would have been
I don't even know. I can't even sit here and say what tangible good it does to address it, but it needs to be addressed. And Don Kelly didn't do it. He instead almost practically, I mean, he didn't really defend it,
but in a way,
he kind of did. Did you see him hustling after that? I don't care.
I don't care about that either. And you shouldn't care as a manager. You can't be worrying about that stuff.
You're right.
You have to just say, look, it's unacceptable. And I'm going to tell everyone here listening to me on this bench,
you're done for the night. Clint Hurdle benched McCutcheon once, did he not? Now, yeah. I think there may have been a rainout that night, and then he put him back in the lineup the next day. But I think the point was made, unless you think that we or I am picking on O'Neal Cruz, I would say this. When you don't pay for players, when your payroll's this low, and when you have an incompetent general manager, so your talent level is extremely low, you have two things to sell. Effort and fundamental baseball. And on the latter, they absolutely stink, as we all know. Although I'd love to see some stats behind that. I don't know if you found those base running stats limits. But they have two things to sell. And you saw that on the effort front, and it was accepted by Don Kelly. It was accepted because there were no repercussions. The fundamentals, the same thing. You want to talk about Adam Frazier? Let's talk about Adam Frazier. Not being able to sacrifice bunt twice in recent games. Now, given a third try, he actually did execute one in a recent game. But the two before that, he bunted right back to the pitcher on one occasion and then couldn't get down a bunt and went to two strikes on another occasion, as have many others. So winning in the margins, like Derek Shelton, remember him, Bob? Talked about at the beginning of the season. The Pirates don't do that. They don't strike me, even though all teams make, you know, silly mistakes. They don't strike me as a very good base running team. Tommy Pham and Mike Rebelgo got lucky the other night when that play went to replay in extra innings. I thought he was out. He should have been out anyways. They don't run the bases well. They overthrow cutoff men. They're not a very good fundamental team. And then with a breach of effort like that, the two things they have to sell, they can't even sell that, Bob.
No, they can't.
Not believably.
It's just another reminder of how far away this team is. If you're going to win at the margin, show it.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You have to then play that way. You have to show people that you're capable of winning these kinds of games, and you're not, and they can't hit, and the hitting has cost them over and over again. First two games of the series are winnable games, and they lose those. Tommy Pham, okay, 3-for-3 yesterday, good for him, but he still shouldn't be on the team after that beginning.
Of course he shouldn't be.
No, and if this continues, then I don't expect much change in the offseason. And until they do, we're going to continue to think of them what we think of them. And they have to respond some way, and they're not necessarily doing any of it.
Limits, where do you fall on all that as an avid pirate follower?
And they've made 25 outs on the bases, guys, 11 at home.
How does that compare with other teams, though? That's how do we put that in context? Like, who else is making outs on the bases?
So they're 22nd in total outs on the bases. They're tied with the likes of the Royals and the A's. Teams like Philadelphia, actually, San Diego, but those are also teams with much better hitters and get on base a lot more. Detroit are worse than the Pirates on making outs on the bases. But at home plate, they are in the top five of all of baseball.
Do they
Tampa
lead
Bay
the league?
Is the worst.
Does it tell you who makes the most outs at third?
Yes.
I'm going to say they lead the league without knowing. I could be very wrong.
Maybe third base?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we don't know for sure, but they made a lot of them to make you curious about that.
They actually don't. According to Baseball Reference, they've only made 3 outs at third base, which I frankly can't believe.
Who leads the league?
Detroit and Kansas City each have 7.
Detroit, okay. Which is the best record in baseball.
All right. Well, maybe that's a little bit of proof that when we're looking at it every day like we are here, maybe some of it gets overblown, but they don't strike me still, despite that stat, as a good fundamental baseball team. Do they to you, Bob?
No, they don't. But then again, that's exacerbated because they can't hit. Sometimes if you hit, like Detroit.
Right, like these other teams,
Detroit,
yeah.
You can have those nuts.
Detroit also jogs around third a lot on home runs.
Well, that's the other thing I don't like. And this is not just the Pirates, it's every team. The veterans especially are guilty of this, not running out plays. I find it just ridiculous.
And Joey Bart never made it to first yesterday.
Managers always defend it.
Right.
You know, by saying, well, you're talking about some of the best fielders. No, you're not. I don't care. You got to force people to make mistakes. That's how you create mistakes, is that you run hard and you force them to do things that they're not comfortable doing. If that's the only thing you can do, I mean, at least do that right.
I like Don Kelly.
Me too.
He seems like a good baseball guy and seems like a nice guy, but maybe a little too nice in this situation.
And he's in a tough situation because he's trying to also prove that he should get and he's not listed as interim. He's listed as manager. But I think all things considered, they have to make a decision at the end of the season based on him and anyone else they could bring.
What are they, 2 games under, Bob, since he got here, I think? 2 or 3? They're right around 500.
Better. But I mean, okay, it's a results-based business. And he may be trying to tiptoe through the tulips a little bit, not to anger people, whatever, because he's in a tough situation trying to get this job beyond this year. But at some point, I think people around here respond to a manager, to a coach, who comes out and says what's really happening and says it will not be tolerated.
Yes,
I have
yes.
to make a statement. And if O'Neill Cruz doesn't understand it, come to my office. I will explain it to
right.
you.
That's now. Listen, do we still have that quote from Bob Walk a while ago when him and Zangrilli were talking? And what were you going to say, Limits? I'm sorry I interrupted.
Well, they are last in all of baseball in runs per game. They're 23rd in caught stealing. They should have benched Cruz just to set the precedent.
Yes.
I think you guys are 1,000% correct on that, especially because that was one of the biggest gripes of the previous manager. Where is the accountability being held? And I think that Donnie Kelly's probably done a better job of being able to communicate with players better. He's played every position, and he played in the majors for a while. But still, I want to see more actions than just straight-up words.
412-928-9370. 928-9370. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. So, again, I'm not sure tangibly what it results in if you punish a guy like that. And I do agree with Bob Walk. Him and Zangrilli, I don't know, it was maybe 2 months ago now, we're having a conversation along the lines of, does anybody ever tip over the post game spread? Does anybody ever go crazy and show their anger around here? I'm with Bob. I'd rather just have good players than that crap. I don't really believe that much in leadership in baseball, in most of its forms anyway. Like, Tommy Pham is here for leadership. He's here to do what he did yesterday for once. He hadn't had an extra base hit since April. However, in the PR battle, Bob, there's a PR battle to be won too, and God knows the Pirates have lost that this year. Between, you know, beating a fan with a belt, jumping to punch a fan, making a lewd gesture toward a fan, the brick fiasco, the spritzer fiasco. I mean, at some point you have to score a PR win. You have to read the play if you're Don Kelly. So if I ever wanted somebody to sit down PO'd at the post game and be visibly PO'd during the game, this was it. Because again, that's all they've got to sell is effort and fundamentals. So what I have minded seeing him slamming his fist against a wall and then getting right in Cruz's face when he came off the field and saying, you're done? No, because that's a PR win, if nothing else.
Correct. And, you know, bottom line here is even Don Kelly on Tommy Pham. I realize Tommy Pham's on this team. He shouldn't be. But his quote yesterday, he went 3 for 3. But he said, quote, he's an awesome teammate. He's always trying to get better. He's trying to help others get better. He works like he's got 10 days in the big leagues, not 10 years. That's his quote. Okay. He's on your roster. I guess
you can make him a coach.
Yeah, well, exactly. He's hitting 190 or whatever. He still has 0 home runs. They paid him $4 million, not to be that teammate. If you're looking to bring in someone who's a good teammate and that's his only real attribute, then don't give that dude $4 million.
Right.
So it still comes down to results. And I understand he's caught in a situation sometimes where he has to answer questions about players who are not popular. But at the same time, you have to talk about we expect more. I would have liked that quote to end within one extension. We expect more. We brought him in here not just to be a good teammate, but to lead by example on the field.
And I would love for Kelly to have gone up to the podium after the game and just told the truth. Like, listen, we don't have a Dodger payroll. We don't even have a Brewers payroll. And they're coming in here this weekend. We have to win through effort and through execution. I know people have heard that before, but that's how we have to win. And that was unacceptable, and that's why I took O'Neill out of the game after the first inning.
Right.
That's why he didn't play, and why he's not playing tomorrow.
And I would say, we hope it's a learning experience for him. That's what it's intended to be. I still think O'Neill Cruz is going to be a big part of our future, but I have to make sure that the message in our clubhouse remains the same. You must hustle, you must run every play, and I will not accept anything less from any player.
And I saw Bart, and it was a ground out yesterday, didn't even make it to first base, and then you hear somebody yell in the background, run it out! Did you hear that, Bob?
Yeah, especially with the ad.
Run it out.
But that person's right.
They're right.
Don't give up on a play because you assume the guy over there who's going to field it is going to be perfect. He may bobble it for a second.
And again, I'll say it again. I don't know what it all adds up to when your players aren't good enough, but you have to win a PR battle every once in a while because ultimately, this is about not having good enough players, this disaster that is this season. And Bob Walk spoke to it when Zangrilli wondered the same stuff we're wondering about. Like, doesn't anybody ever turn over a table or smash a locker like Wyndham Clark around there? He didn't say that, but that's what he was wondering. This is what Bob said.
Well, so when you bring in veteran leadership, bring in home runs and RBIs.
True.
That's I would much rather see that than somebody that's going to be a vocal leader in the clubhouse. I've never seen anything where that really paid off.
So there's no tables to flip. There's no.
You can do that.
Lighting
stuff.
Fixtures to break or.
But how is that turn into wins? I don't know.
Bingo. And having said that, I would like to see every once in a long while a lighting fixture. I like how Zangrilli phrased that, Bob. A lighting fixture smash. Like, I still remember, and I imagine fans do, when Clint Hurdle benched McCutchen, when A.J. Burnett waved off the bullpen, I think it was in Washington one day, and Hurdle lost his mind in the dugout. You pick your spots. And this was a spot that Don Kelly missed, I think.
I do too. And everyone on that team would have understood it. You know, I was watching the players' reaction, especially Mike Burrows. I'm sure in his mind he's saying, come on, that's all you can do. But he can't say that because he's a young kid who's not in a position to say it.
Right.
The one guy who can say it is the manager. He's the only guy who could publicly.
Or I guess Tommy Pham, since he's the greatest leader since Derek Jeter.
But I mean, he can say it and he can make an example of it. And that's not, again, to say that he's benched forever. But we can't allow that to happen. And if it permeates through the rest of our team because we've seen it once and therefore it's okay, then you have a problem.
All right. Well, let's get to the GM.
But Bob yeah. Walk is correct. This whole season, when the obituary is written, it will be Pirates fail to address their biggest problem in the offseason, and so don't be surprised that it ended up in this death.
I mean, honestly, I haven't talked to the Noah Constrictor about this, but if he's not planning a book on this season, he should be, and I'm not joking. There can't have been, in the history of North American pro sports, many more calamitous seasons than this one, on and off the field. All the things I mentioned, from day one when Horowitz shows up injured to the Bucko bricks, the Clemente wall, the fan flying over the wall incident, the usher or whoever it was at the stadium, worker beating a fan with a belt, Dennis Santana taking a jumping swipe at a fan, everything that's happened on the field. I mean, this is a book waiting to happen. It's, if anybody out there can think of a more calamitous Pittsburgh sports season ever, I don't know, the 83-84 Penguins, you know, where their own coach was working against them and trying to make them lose. This stuff belongs in that category, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. But do we sense anything's going to change here for the rest of the season? I don't.
Nothing. Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nothing else matters.
We're back, but
the
we're not ready
thing
yet.
That matters is how you finish
because
your swing.
Joe is showing
what
me
is going on here, Bob.
Based on Eddie Wittmeyer's tutelage.
There we go.
What a great extension and follow through.
What really is going on, Bob?
Did you like
what
that
did you
swing,
say?
Bob?
What is going on here?
Joe can't be bothered by a radio show when he's trying to show me his swing breakdown and how it's changed.
Joe, we have a radio show to run here.
Wait, Tommy Pham can't. See? What's this story I see here? Was this by Gormy the Owl? Did you guys see this story? Limits?
Yeah, I
saw
did.
It. I heard it.
So Tommy Pham was diagnosed with, oh gosh, do anybody know how to pronounce this word so I don't look like a moron pronouncing Zeitgeist?
Zeitgeist. I still remember that.
Just try it.
Keratoconus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rare eye condition.
Sounds like the dinosaur from the prehistoric ages.
It causes contorted vision, and he's dealt with it throughout his entire career. And he said that this is one thing that has been hampering him a little bit.
Well, first of all, obviously, I feel for anyone who has such a condition.
Yes,
and I honestly mean that. Secondly, I'm sorry, but this is not the place for trial and error, which is what the Owl writes here. Pham said, I don't really think this is mechanical. I think it was all visual for me. My prescription's been off. I've been adjusting on the fly. What? My contact situation's been real complicated, so we're heading in a right direction. All right, we'll just sit around and wait till the prescription gets right, Bob. I didn't even see this story till 2 minutes ago. What are we doing here?
I guess the question would be, why now has it become an issue? I mean, that should have been something that they talked about early in the season. Or one of the reasons why maybe you wouldn't want to sign him, all due respect. You know, I agree with you. Those are things you got to deal with. But if you knew that going into this and that was a problem, then why would you give him a one-year deal?
I'm just sort of flabbergasted by this, but no more flabbergasted than what I listened to from Ben Charrington the other day. If I asked you guys right now, simple yes or no, Do you think Ben Cherington will be the Pirates GM at this time next year?
No.
No.
I wish I could say no, but I'm going to say yes.
Based on what?
Bob Nutting not wanting to pay him to not work. I'm assuming his contract goes beyond that. He has done that before. I just don't understand why he didn't fire him with Shelton. This guy's going to run another draft. And we all agree that Ben Cherington should be fired. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. They should move on.
Yes. I mean, it's just time.
So he's still talking like this during his show yesterday about right now, about the rest of this season and the future. Do you have a couple of clips for us, Limits?
This is first what Cherington had to say about this year's group.
You know, I really do believe the group is responding to not Donnie, but not just Donnie, the entire staff. And I believe there's like a really strong level of engagement from the group and focus. And I've said before, I still believe and believe that the group of players we have in the organization currently is capable of playing winning baseball in 2025. I really still believe that. And at the same time, it hasn't happened yet. Not nearly consistently enough. And we have to be honest about that too. And I think as we look, we have to deliver more to our fans. Bottom line, like we know that. And this is the time of year, as you know, where opportunities present themselves. And, you know, we need to be, as much as we believe in the group, we also need to be honest about where we are. And those opportunities will present themselves over the next several weeks.
I never know what he's talking about. What does he mean?
This is the thing.
This is the time of year.
Long.
What do you mean? This is the time of year where opportunities present themselves. What does that mean?
He can only mean players who haven't gotten a chance are going to play, right?
Well, it should be the time of year where you're gearing up. Last year, at this time, they were gearing up to try to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What does he mean? This is the time of year where opportunities present themselves.
He's got to mean trade wise, like IKF could get dealt. And
I think he means what Bob said, that we stink so bad at this time of year that guys like Canario and whoever else and are going to get a run here.
So, well, Canario's gotten a decent run. But
he's gotten a decent run, yes.
I would think guys like Pham and other veterans would be kind of pushed out a little bit, especially if somebody's willing to take them on the trade market so that younger guys like the Billy Cooks and the Nick Yorks of the world can play.
What does he mean he's pleased with the engagement and focus? He just had a center fielder two nights before that stand there and watch a ball roll to the fence, Bob.
He should be. Even more so than Donnie Kelly, the guy who's making comments about accountability.
Yes.
Instead of talking about, we still believe we can play winning baseball. You've gone through more than half of the season, and you've shown that you're 17 games under 500, and this is mostly on you as the general manager. You've not given the kind of tools needed. And if you want to say that my hands were tied, say it, because maybe your hands were tied, and that immediately points to Bob Nutting. But they're not going to say any of that. They're instead going to continue to tell you that we believe we can play winning baseball, but yet never show it.
He said earlier this year you need 50 to 60 games to find out about your team. So how does that jibe with, I still believe this is a winning team? That it doesn't.
They probably think with Donnie Kelly it is a different looking team. And he did allude to it in that clip that they're playing harder, they're playing decent for Don Kelly. So, but that doesn't mean that the clock should automatically restart. Like, they changed the manager,
but
they didn't change the roster.
What is Don Kelly's record? Can somebody tell me that, Bob? They were 12-26. So now they're 31.
And 48.
So tell me what their record is. If any of us can do math live on the radio.
No, I'm not one of those people.
They won 12. 31 minus 12 is 19.
22 losses. They're 19-22.
Three under.
So they've won 19 of 41 games?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 19 divided by 41 is 460 winning percentage times one. They're on pace under Donnie Kelly to win 75 games. Is that acceptable? They make it sound like this guy walked in and became a World Series contender.
John Heyman was trying to give him a free extension right away after 30 games.
What are we doing here? Now, a lot of people have mocked me, Bob, because I said the Pirates are actually close, and I'll defend that position. They have the hard part figured out. I'll say it again. This guy hasn't brought in a single impact hitter. Let's see what would happen
totally
if you
that.
Had a star hitter.
instead of, it's the same old thing. And if you want to look to one thing that goes beyond even Ben Cherington and directly points to Bob Nutting, is that there has been only one free agent signing that's had a multi-year deal that they offered and accepted in 20 in
it's
9 years.
It's mind-boggling.
So therefore, I would, and this is an exercise that we need to do. We need to go and find all the free agent signings that they have made since 2016, and find out how many have been versus what they got. You know, so they made 40 signings and they gave up $130 million in those 40 signings, but none of the 40 have actually resulted in anything. So now what you're saying is that you're willing to spend $130 million on nothing. Why not spend $40 million on a real good player? Get two guys for $40 million, whatever you could do just to give a legitimate bat or two in this lineup, which could have helped, to your theory, them being so-called close. They have the pitching, and you can do a study, and they could have won more than half of these one-run games that they've lost because they have no hitting.
And the pitching has faltered just a bit here. But pun intended, with Bailey Falter.
But you know what? At some point, that's going to end up collapsing just because they go out there and they never get any run support. It takes a toll on a pitching staff, I think.
I heard, who did I hear? Zangrilli, was it? Somebody was asking Zangrilli about Bednar. Do you think Bednar has become a prime trade candidate, Bob, who could bring a bat back? Is he that valuable right now? He's looked really, really good.
Yeah, I would like to try to see.
Would you trade him?
If I got the bite that I needed, yes, probably.
Limits, what do you think of that?
I would, especially because we did not see it from him last year. And the early portion of this year, we had to go to the minor leagues. If you can get a good enough value for him to deal him, need to trade him before it happens again.
How many
games
are you in a position to close anyway?
Right.
You know, if you need a closer, I'd rather, if that's the case, they can somehow put Majinski in that role or anyone else who may have the...
Or Santana when he's not taking flying leaps at fans.
Do we ever get to the bottom of that? I've seen quotes, but nobody really knows what happened there.
No, I don't know. I also had somebody, a friend of mine, text me and say, did McCutchen address this Cruz thing? Is that not an opportunity for him to get in somebody's face? Or Tommy Pham, for that matter. I thought Tommy Pham was the in-your-face leader of the old ball club here. Did anybody address this?
One thing I did hear with the morning show when Zangrilli was on with them, and I just want to make sure that I double and triple check this just to make sure, because he joined them in the 8 o'clock hour, 8:36. And what he heard, what Zangrilli heard, whether it was this weekend or whenever when he was talking to people, is that it got really personal with Dennis Santana and that the fans were making comments about his deceased father.
Oh, geez.
And were making just all kind of inconsiderate,
who reported
idiotic
that?
Zangrilli.
He reported
on the morning
that.
Show.
Okay. Well, then that
just
that would, to me,
comments.
Would justify it, Bob. You?
Yeah, I mean, fans need to be thrown out of buildings, too. You know, someone's out there. But the problem is we don't have anyone who does anything anymore. Security, they're security in name only half the time. Nobody does anything. If you find that to be the case, take the guy out.
Then why didn't we hear about it then? Why do we have to hear a report from Zangrilli? Wouldn't you say what the nature of it was?
Well, if I were Santana.
Especially if you're the Pirates, you should be protecting
right,
that guy.
If I were Santana, I would have made it loud and clear. And I would say, and I would do a preemptive strike. I would have said through my interpreter again, I was the victim of a lot of verbal abuse that went way beyond what I normally can tolerate. And because of it, I reacted. I should not be held accountable, and Major League Baseball should look into the fan behavior, and if they don't even bother suspending
me. I don't know. Did Cherington address this? To me, it's up to the Pirates to protect your player there and give people...
Somebody needs to say something.
Yes, they must know by now.
Even he didn't say anything.
What the nature of it was. So say it.
I don't
protect
understand.
Your player.
Why did Santana not say it? Like, why would you not want to come out and say... Like, and the reporters asked,
and
why did you
really
do it?
Agitated by it?
Yes.
And make Major League Baseball then say, well, we're still going to suspend you, but they know that you're being harassed beyond what is normal, and you know, it gets to a point where somebody has to take responsibility for that
from
the league.
I don't know why he didn't say it, but I honestly think that's up to the team to protect their player.
Well, and it's not like Dennis Santana is Bryce Harper, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani level of stardom. Like...
What does that have to do with anything?
What I'm saying is these fans clearly had intent and clearly had motive to look up this guy. It was in the bullpen to make sure that they could chirp him the best way that they saw fit to go personal at him. Because it's not like Dennis Santana's dad is in the news. It's not like it's just readily available. They clearly researched this guy and said, well, how can we get under Dennis Santana's skin? And that's just what is disgusting to me.
We have a pirate call. Let's go to that, Limits.
Here is our
six-pack, by the way, brought to you by Bet365 Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And you can reach Limits on the Fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Here is Chris in Swissville to chime in.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
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 Chris. Bob, name all the Chris's you can remember in Pirates history. I'll start.
Geez.
Chris Snyder, who once had a fractured testicle.
S-N-I-D-E-R. That's Snyder, not S-N-Y-D-E-R, right?
That's right. And he was on the injured list in Arizona with what they termed a fractured testicle.
So here we go. I always am amazed, and people tell me, how do you prepare for Joe Starkey? I said, well, out of the blue, he could talk about injured testicles and sing about it within 20 minutes.
I hope he doesn't.
I do not have a song about that.
But I mean, this is how you operate. Out of the blue, all of a sudden, we go from the best Chris's in Pittsburgh sports history.
Yeah.
Pirates
testicles. Well, yes, I just remembered that with Chris Snyder. Give me a Chris from Pirates history.
I have
Limits. Chime in. Just say something.
How about Chris Stewart, the catcher?
How about Chris Benson?
How about Chris Benson?
Well, that's a different Chris because it's K-R-I-S. I don't count him. We're looking for Chris Stein.
Is Chris Steins a person?
I don't know.
I don't know. Was it Chris Steins?
How about Chris Kimuatu?
Well, he doesn't play for the Pirates.
I know that, but he did have a interesting career with the Steelers.
Wait, Chris. No, I can't think of anybody, Bob. Chris Archer.
That's a winner right there.
That's the one, right. Chris Archer.
Let's go. Anybody else? Limits?
I'm trying to think of other Chris's.
Chris Truby?
Chris Moore?
Chris Moore? There's never a Chris Moore. No. All right, Bob, let's go to all of Pittsburgh sports history.
Oh, here we go. Then
Chris
Letang is the top one.
Chris Kiamatu.
Chris Kunitz.
Chris Kunitz is another good one, right? Pick.
Chris Beach. And if he married Sonny Abada, she would have been Sonny Beach. Yeah.
And I had a lot to do with that, and I'm glad it didn't end up that.
You set them up,
Bob? It would not have been
a
Sonny Beach.
Did you set them up?
Yes. But I thought they were a wonderful couple. Sonny was with our station. I really, really talented person and got on the air and went to Florida. It was one of their main anchors. But I thought he was a decent guy, but maybe I was wrong. I don't know.
Seems like a nice man. I don't know anything about their relationship. Remember, I certainly didn't set it up.
Remember Chris Rainey?
Chris Rainey. Yeah. Good call.
Running back.
Florida.
Wonderful call, Limits.
Yes. Not a wonderful man, though, based on everything that transpired.
May not have been. All right, Bob. Top of the hour. I have a treat for you. And I want you to think about this. Because we get some form of this question all the time. Usually it's what's the next Pittsburgh sports team to win a championship. Here's what I want you to think about. Over the next calendar year, what's the date limit? It's the 28th of June?
No, it's the 23rd.
Same thing. 23rd,
Don't wish summer away, Joe.
It's June 23rd. I want you to tell me this, Bob. Are you listening intently?
Yeah.
On June 23rd of next year, between now and then, which Pittsburgh sports team will have the most success? Penguins, Pirates, Steelers, Pitt football, or Pitt basketball between now and next June 23rd? And then I want you to tell me why. And that's going to morph into a conversation from the morning show. Now, Kabali thinks that the Steelers are, you know, better at every position. They don't have a single bad player. Everything's great with them. And today they were talking, and you were producing Limits, about they were ripping on Benzie, our friend Benzie, who apparently said something like the Steelers haven't changed as much as people think. I happen to agree with that. They vehemently disagreed. This is a radically altered team. It's a better team. Is it? Let's talk about that in the next hour as well. Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at the 937thefan.com contesting page. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Weather today, Bob, very hot. Too hot for Bob to golf. A high of James Harrison.
No.
You like it this way?
I like this way, but I just can't do it today with you.
Call in sick.
Can't do it.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
I've got the number. Tell them you're sick.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.